Revelation 12, starting at verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And a dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. You know that you were trying to, the devil was trying to devour you as soon as you were born? She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then a woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Everybody say war broke out in heaven. You know, we're still at war. Amen? We're still at war. It's not done. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And a dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the world, the whole world. He deceives how much? The whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. You know how many people don't believe in the powers of darkness? It's phenomenal, isn't it? And, you know, one of the things the devil doesn't want you to realize is that you're not fighting flesh and blood. You're not. Our fight is so spiritual that the devil can deceive you that where you think you actually have a physical fight. I got off the phone today with a woman that was pretty interesting. Anyways, she asked me what I did, this and that, and I shared with her, and she was agnostic. You know, so by the time we got off the phone, her head was spinning. And I share with her, listen, you didn't read this from no book. I didn't read it. You're talking to somebody that actually had an encounter with God Almighty. Not that something I read or something that somebody told me. God has set you up. Because he's trying to rescue you. And then she started telling me about something on other things and whatever. So, but you know, now she's supposed to be calling back for a video. But you know, you never know what's going to happen. But you know, so many people do not. You know, and as you begin to fellowship more and more, and you're in this arena and in this fellowship, you begin to lose sight of what it's really like out in the world. You know? You really begin to lose sight. It's like, man, they're gone. They're deceived. Whoa. I didn't realize how badly. Yeah, there's a lot of good people, but they are not right. They may be good, but they're not right. And that's the difference. In verse 11, read it with me. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. In other words, it wasn't about them. Amen. Now, I've taught this recently, and I want to share with it again because I think it's really important at this point in time. We need to have an understanding. It says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. They overcame him by what? The blood of the... Who did he overcome? Satan. They overcame the powers of darkness by the blood of the Lamb. Go to Leviticus 17. In Leviticus 17 and verse 10. Would you read it with me? And whatever man of the house of Israel or the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make what? Atonement. Atonement. For your what? For your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. In other words, there had to be a sacrifice. Amen? There had to be a sacrifice for me and you. And we know that the Word became flesh. Jesus was the sacrifice for me and you. That's where the blood became. See, God had to send His own blood into the world. First of all, He had to become man, holy, so that He could be sacrificed, so that atonement could be made for me and you. Atonement of past, present, and future. Has everybody got that? Okay. Go to Genesis 3. Oh, hallelujah. So the life of the flesh is where?
Blood.
In the blood. You and I have been flesh, haven't we? Even though we don't like being flesh, but we are currently flesh, right? But we're no longer humans. We're born again spirits. We know we're going to shed this flesh. But it says, to maintain the life of your flesh, your blood must be cleansed. And only can be cleansed by an exchange of clean blood and pure blood. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Genesis 3 and verse 6. So when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, we know that's the three temptations. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves what?
Coverings.
How many times you ever try to cover up your stuff? Well, they tried to. Like God didn't see it. Let's just sneak behind here and do it. Nobody will know. Good relationship. Go to verse 20. So they tried to cover themselves, didn't they? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 20, and Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and what? Clothe them. So understand something very important. God did the first killing. Adam and Eve actually killed themselves. If you think about it. Why? Because their disobedience brought death, didn't it? So because Adam and Eve were already dying, amen, because of their commitment of sin, which moved them out of the presence of God, and they were dying, God saw what was happening to His children. So He stepped in, took an animal, and killed it. He took that blood of an animal and that skin of an animal and clothed His children, covered them, removed those fig leaves. He said, that ain't going to work. That won't last in the weather you're going in. It's going to be a little rough out there, and those little fig leaves are going to blow away. But let me give you something a little bit warm. Here's some skin, some nice warm skin, dripping blood skin. In other words, a covering. He made the exchange right there in the garden. Isn't that awesome that He went in the garden for me and you and made the exchange? You know, when you think about it, it says that as He began to pray, because He was struggling and fighting in the Spirit, His flesh was trying to overtake Him. The devil was hitting Him with everything he could in His flesh. That He began to sweat blood. That's the first atonement that was made, was for your emotions. Hello? For your emotions, so that we wouldn't be led by what we feel, but we'd be led by truth. Not truth of what man says, but truth of what the King of Glory says. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord made atonement for Adam and Eve. But it was prophecy that He would soon make atonement for all mankind. Amen? Rendering the promises that He gave us that we'd be continue to be fruitful and multiply. So when God made this action, which is very powerful, He made this action in the garden. He chose to kill this animal. In other words, He expressed His forgiveness to Adam and Eve instantly. instantly was willing to forgive. They didn't know how to repent. They didn't know. God began to teach them. See, right in the garden, God already showed Adam and Eve how it was to sacrifice then. He showed them how it was to maintain. He knew, they knew about blood. Blood. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 1. Praise God. In verse 18. Would you read it with me? 18 to 20. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet. Well, what color is scarlet? Ooh. You know, when we were brought up, we always, you're scarred. You've got a black thing across you. Sins are not black. Sins are red. It represents bleeding. Sin represents bleeding. Oh, hallelujah. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson. Amen. They shall be as wool. If you are willing and what? Obedient. Whoa. So he says, if you're willing to do this, this is what's going to happen. You shall eat the good of the land, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Sins are not black, they are scarlet red. Blood is red, isn't it? These are known as spiritual wounds that bleed. Spiritual wounds that bleed. See, so when you and I commit sin, what we call sin, because we know sin is actually the association with the presence of evil, transgression is the sin. But all around we call it sin. When you and I commit these acts of sin, what happens is we spiritually begin to bleed. Spiritually begin to bleed. Does everybody understand that? That's why there's got to be an exchange for your bleeding. Hello? There's got to be an exchange. Listen, nothing is new under the sun. What happened in the garden is still happening, even though it's out of the garden. It's still going on. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when you think about it, think about the sinners of the world. They're bleeding to death, aren't they? They are spiritually bleeding to death because the wages of sin is what? Death. Go to Isaiah 53. Oh, the blood of Jesus. That's where we sing about the blood. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 6. Would you read it with me? Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely has borne our griefs or sicknesses and carried our sorrows and pains, rejections and all the other stuff. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. The same thing he did in the garden. He did with Jesus. And afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In other words, that blood is a representation of eternal past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. This was prophesied about the atonement for all mankind. It says, by his stripes we're healed. See, it's not just about physical healing. It's about spiritual healing, isn't it? There are many people bleeding to death. Spiritually bleeding to death. The word says, come out from among them and don't touch unclean things. There's still people touching unclean things, either through thought or word or whatever. They begin to bleed to death. Disobedience will cause you to bleed to death. John chapter 1. Oh, praise God. So if you think about it, isn't God a spirit? It says God is spirit. So if you really think about what's happening here, for God to have fellowship back with man, he had to, right in the garden, he killed an animal. Amen? In other words, he made the exchange for blood. Blood for blood. Life for life. That means that the blood must always go before the what? Spirit. The blood must always go before the Spirit. Because God is what? Spirit. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Everybody there? Read it with me. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh and bled for us. Keep going. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So we see here that the Word became flesh and bled for me and you. Truth became flesh to set us free. Amen? The blood goes before the Spirit, always. The blood always goes before the Spirit. Go to John chapter 14. Hallelujah. You know, God gave us weapons. He gave us his word, his name, and the blood. That fight that we just read about in the book of Revelation is not over. If they had to overcome in the book of Revelation by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony, how much more do you and I? Amen? It's a continuous battle. John 14, verse 6, would you read it? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through who? Through me, or the Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's a lot of teachings off of the way, truth, and life, let me tell you. But I can only express to you that it is the tabernacle of God. Jesus said, I am the tabernacle. I am the way, representing the cross and the sacrifice. I am the truth. I am the one who descended and destroyed the works of the enemy, because your fight is not flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness. And I am he who rose again, because I am the life, and then I ascended to the right hand of the Father and sent the Spirit of life for me and you. So everybody got it? So the blood always goes before the Spirit, even in the tabernacle. Those are the three chambers. The chambers of the tabernacle of God is the outer court, holy place, and the most holy place. The most holy place is the Ark of the Covenant, where the Spirit of life dwells. You had to come in through that access. The first one is where the blood and the sacrifice, the way. The truth was the place of the holy place where the furniture is and stuff like that, where the word is represented. Truth. And then the life. is where the presence of God dwells. See, so the blood always goes before the Spirit. So no matter what you're doing and how you're acting and what's going on, that's why God gave us repentance. Amen? Repentance. The blood always must go before the what? Spirit. Go to 1 John chapter 5. We are coming to an arena where the way you're going to overcome is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. There's going to be a time where you will not be able to say, behold the kingdom of God, but behold the day of the Lord. Hello? The only way you're going to overcome, you're not. Let me tell you, your knowledge is not going to rescue you. Only your relationship. You won't be able to carry the word with you. You will be the word. Hello? You'll be the walking epistle fulfilling what the word tells us. Written in our hearts. Written in the tablets of our heart. We are getting closer and closer and closer. Oh, hallelujah. Where did I say to go? 1 John. Uparabakarahasi. 1 John, chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is what?
Truth.
Truth. Truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these are what? And there are three that bear witness on earth, and these are the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. So we're talking about the tabernacle of God again. Amen? We're talking about Jesus, who is the tabernacle. That's why Jesus was the only one that could say, I am the way, or I am the door. Because he was actually, man, when he said that, the Jews were upset. Blasphemy! They wanted to kill him then. He proclaimed to be God as the door. He kept telling them, I am the only way home. And all these religious fanatics, bound by the letter, not by the Spirit, a few of them got it, not too many. But the ones that really got it are the ones that were touched. They got it. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Corinthians chapter 3. Is everybody there? Starting at verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the what?
Spirit.
Of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives what?
Life.
Gives what?
Life.
Life. Ooh, praise God. The Spirit is life. We want the Spirit to have access to all parts of our life because He brings life. That's why it's important that in our arena of life, temporary life here, even though we are eternally created, we must protect our environment by the blood of the Lamb. We must keep ourselves by His truth. Does everybody understand that? If you recall, anybody ever see the Moses flicks and stuff like that? Remember when they put the blood of the Lamb on the lintels of the door and they killed, and the destroyer couldn't go in? But some of them chose not to put it on there, and they died. They lost their first, their child. So that means that you and I have to cooperate with what God has given us. That's why the Word tells us in the spiritual law, he who sows shall what?
Reap.
So depending on what you're sowing is what you're going to reap. You'll either sow to the flesh and reap corruption, or sow to the Spirit and reap life. In other words, your obedience and my obedience is a representation of either sowing to the Spirit or sowing to our disobedience and sowing to the flesh. You're either activating the blood or deactivating it. And the devil always wants you to deactivate the blood. One day I was driving home, and this is where the Lord taught me about putting the blood on my vehicle all the time. And we came to a four-way stop sign, and there was no lights, no nothing. And for some reason, I couldn't move. And in a split second, I had like a vision of somebody running the stop sign. And I looked at my wife and I said, why can't I move? And as I was saying that, she said to me, why aren't you going? I couldn't move my legs or nothing. My foot was on the clutch. I couldn't budge. It was like somebody was holding me. Next thing I knew, some car flew right through the four-way stop sign about 50 miles an hour. And I was like, whoa. I got revelation of the blood. Hello? Man, I applied the blood upon everything. I didn't care what it was. The blood on that seat. The blood. I walk around going, the blood. I was overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Praise God. Hey, believe me, when I go into hotels or anything, the blood goes before me. Lay hands on that bed, curse all that garbage off. You never know what's going on in there, man. Clean it. Spiritual house cleaning. Get the blood going. Hey, they did it with the lepers, right? In the Old Testament, they put it on the scarlet and the wood, and they'd rub it all over the place with hyssop. Sprinkle it. Man, they looked at the blood as life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. People's blood is contaminated because of sin. Come on, every one of us has gone to the doctor and he always says, does your family have a history of curses? No, he always says they have a history of diabetes, heart disease, this, that, whatever. He never says anything about a curse because he doesn't know anything unless he's a spirit-filled doctor. Why? Because he's looking to see what's in your blood. Hello? He's looking to find out what's in your blood. And you're going to find out, if you do history and go back and find out what your ancestors did, you're going to realize you are the way you are. But praise God for the blood that was exchanged, that same blood that was exchanged in the garden, that was prophesied and brought forth on the cross, that same blood has made you brand new. But the devil don't want you to know that. Oh, glory for the blood. Romans 3. Hallelujah. The blood before the Spirit. Why? Because the blood makes atonement and the Spirit brings life. Has everybody got it? So the devil doesn't want you to repent or anything because you would activate the blood and the Spirit. Hello? See, you can't, God can't protect you on what you choose in disobedience. He can't protect you. Amen? He can protect you what you eat. Hello? Oh, you can bless and cast every calorie out and every other thing out, but it's still going to affect you one way or another. Amen? Okay, I won't go there. Romans chapter 3. Hallelujah. In verse 25, I think. Let's start at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, read it with me, apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Ooh, that is powerful. That he may be the one who is just and the justifier who has faith in Jesus. And we know faith is an action, isn't it? It's not saying, well, I believe. That's not faith. Faith means something you do. He who has faith without works is dead. Right? But he who has faith with works, you're going to see something going on. Because faith is about works. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So we see that Jesus paid the price. He made the exchange. He took our place for punishment. He hung on the cross for me and you. They would have ran out of crosses. Hello? Man, we keep... We'd all had to hang. There weren't enough trees. Only the pure blood of God can make the exchange and rescue me and you. You know that there are still organizations, I guess maybe religions or whatever, that have not accepted the full price of Jesus' blood. And then they begin to do their own rituals and their own laws. They try to improve God. This is where they make it more complex, or because they've not learned Christ. Because the Lord set that place for the blood to be exchanged. His whole concern for me and you was relationship. That's what it's about. Relationship. The closer you get to God, you're going to find out that the more garbage we have. Because the closer you get to a light, the you can see it more. You can see more things, you know? I use reading glasses. You know, I mean, when I put on the glasses, I can see a lot better. It's like getting closer to the light. You know, you bring a light and you get closer and closer, and you can actually see all kinds of stuff. Well, God begins to expose us more and more and more. And that's where we start crying out the blood. The blood. The blood. Amen? When the devil attacks you, you plead the blood. Innocent until proven guilty. Guilty! I'm innocent now. I was proven guilty already. That's why I repented. Hallelujah. What an attorney I have, I'm telling you. Powerful. Go to Romans 5. Oh, to God be the glory. Would you read 8 and 9? But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us much more than now, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What an exchange. You know, in the Old Testament, the Lord told Moses, because his children were disobedient out in the wilderness, and so he decided to wipe some out. And to give an example, it was a big chastisement. Thousands were killed. And he let these serpents loose, and he said, go get them. And so he told Moses, he said, make a serpent out of a bronze and put a stake through it, and anyone who looks on it will be healed. See, that was what was to come, because Jesus would be lifted on a stake, right? And as we look unto him, we get healed through his blood. Through his blood. We get healed. Why? The life of the flesh is where? In the blood. But the blood must go before the what? Spirit. Because it's the spirit that brings life. The blood brings access. Has everybody got it? It's the blood that brings access, and it's the spirit that brings life. you could not get saved by just saying, I accept you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. That did not save you. When you repented of your sins, that's what saved you, because the blood made access for the Spirit to bring life. Somebody got it? It wasn't when you just said, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. No, that didn't save you yet. He still couldn't get to you until you repented. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, so you're not ready yet, huh? I hear somebody saying, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. Ooh. Don't miss the bus. See, the only way on the bus is through the blood. That's a blood bus. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the what?
Blood
of Christ. Hallelujah. For he himself is our what?
Peace.
You want peace?
Yeah.
Praise God. There it is, the blood. He is your peace. You know that you're a virgin through the blood. You're a virgin. Why defile yourself then? Brand new. Oh, hallelujah. For this reason, I'm sorry. Wrong one. Are we at Ephesians still? Listen, let's go forward here on 14. Let's start. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself a one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the what? Oh, to God be the glory through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity or hatred. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by what? Oh, well, what brings access? The blood. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Oh, that's why Jesus said, no one comes to my Father except for through me. Because he was going to become the living sacrifice. God had to become man that he could shed his own blood for all mankind. The blood. Oh, the blood. Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah, Colossians chapter 1. And verse 17. For he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or what? Things in heaven, had made peace through the blood of his cross. Ooh. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in our mind, or in your minds, by wicked works yet now have been reconciled. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. Everyone say holy.
Holy.
Blameless. And above reproach in his sight. This, everybody say verse 23. If.
Yeah.
If indeed you what? continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So there's a responsibility that you and I have to maintain, to continue. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews 10. Oh, to God be the glory. The blood before the what? Spirit. Why? Because the blood grants access. Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Is everybody there? Read it with me. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, what's the holiest? That's the chamber, isn't it? Amen. That's the chamber. That's the third chamber. That's where the Holy of Holies is. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a what? New and living way, which he consecrated for us. For who? For us. Through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from any evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Fellowship. Fellowship. Oh, to God be the glory. Fellowship. 1 John chapter 1. The blood before the Spirit. The blood before the Spirit. Verse 1. John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, I'm sorry. In verse 6 through 9, would you read it with me? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what? We lie. Hello? Yeah, I know the Lord, but I still like using. Yeah, I know the Lord, but I still like fornicating. Yeah, I know the Lord, but I still like disobedience. Yes, I know the Lord. I can quote every scripture, page numbers and everything. See, you'll know them by their fruit. If you know the Lord and you're taking time with the Lord, you'll bear fruit that shows you're with him. But he says here, you know, if you say you know the Lord and you say you have fellowship with him, but you walk in darkness, it says that we lie and do not practice the truth. So that means you must practice the truth. Amen? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. With who? One another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from what? All sins. Oh, praise God. How many of y'all blew it today? Ones that didn't raise your hand, you can repent. That way the Spirit will have access to you. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Did you get that next verse?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If we confess our sins, he is what?
Faithful
and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, he's faithful. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So we've all blown it. Go to 1 John chapter 3. No, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. In verse 1 and 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent! What was he trying to do? He was trying to allow them access of the Spirit, wasn't he? Oh, hallelujah. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent! Oh, hallelujah. He's trying to get them to repent. In other words, humble self. Humble yourself, and God will exalt you in due time. Why grumble and argue? It doesn't do anything. Amen? It's just a waste of time. Why get angry and hatred? Why be bitter? Why be offended? For what? It's just a waste of time. You know, it just moves you out of position. Oh, hallelujah. There's somewhere else I want to go. I want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Repent and believe in the gospel. I used to say that all the time when I first got saved. What should I do with this? Repent and believe in the gospel. Man, I need to change the plugs on my car. What should I do? Repent and believe in the gospel. It didn't matter what somebody was doing. Repent and believe in the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 20. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. See, it's our responsibility to be ready in season and out and be prepared. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. Anybody there? Oh, 21. Sorry. Hallelujah. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, in verse 21, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, things that you used to lust over, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they what? Generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do His will. Hallelujah. Go to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. Praise you, Lord. Are you getting it? Praise God. You know, even when I'm in somebody else's car, doesn't matter. Even if I have to whisper, the blood. I don't care. The blood of Jesus on this car. Not everybody else. Shudukarayaramasi. It doesn't matter. Me and the blood are tight, man. Hallelujah. Acts 17, 29. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, how many are the offspring of God? Those who aren't, you need to be. We ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorant or boneheadedness, God is overlooked. But now commands all men everywhere through the whole world and all nations and all creation to repent, because he has appointed a day on which everyone or he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. You know, some people are still, they don't get it yet. You know, all of these other religions, you know, the only thing you need to say to someone is, hey, is the Buddha raised from the dead? The Muhammad raised from the dead? Who are you talking to, man? You know, I talk to my God. I have fellowship. We're tight. Uncovered by the blood. When a devil attacks me, I plead the blood. And then my attorney steps in. Jesus. See, when things get too overwhelming, I say, hey, you ever have a big brother or, you know, somebody? Hey, go get him. Jesus is like a big brother, too. You know, powers of darkness start attacking you. You know, just hey, turn them over to the Lord. I'll never forget one day I was, I had a dream. I was walking out of my driveway and I fell in a pit. And I was going down, 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 and I knew I got tricked by the devil. And man, I knew I couldn't grab the walls, but I was cruising fast. And I thought of everything. Oh, and I just heard say, why don't you call on Father? Yeah. I called Father, and all of a sudden I lifted up. And I was hovering over this hole in my driveway. And I began to dangle my feet and tease the devil. And going, and I was turning around like this. And, was, and then I was going over to this other place and I saw another little one and another little one. And then finally I got down. But see, that closeness of you and Dad is through the blood. Because Jesus made access for me and you through his price of his death. See, but we must never lose focus of that. Because when you lose focus of that, you go on your own strength. Amen? We must, you and I came from the cross. You and I were birthed off the side of Jesus, where the blood and water came. Amen? You remember where Eve came, right? Eve came from the rib of Adam, right? Well, you and I came from the rib of Jesus, only from the side. Where Eve was birthed, which meant woman, which meant bride, you and I were birthed through the side of Christ. When they pierced him, you and I were birthed. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. In verse 9, somewhere around there. And let's see here. Second Peter chapter 3. 9's good. Would you read it with me? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to what? Repentance. You know, I can only express this over and over and over. When you blow it a little bit, the simplest thing, don't take no chances, repent. Let the blood cover it so the Spirit has access to you. Don't let pride protect you from or prevent you from repenting. Amen. You exaggerated. You know you lied. Holy Spirit's convicting. Oh, man, you know. Then you try to justify it because the devil's trying to cause you to think that, you know, what you did was okay. When you have to justify, you know you're out of position. Buts and ifs. Phew, repent. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. The only way that can be done is with the blood. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved Paul, brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Go to Revelation 1, please. Revelation 1. The blood before the what?
Spirit.
The blood allows access to spirit to go. Praise God. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, who has made us what? Kings and priests to his God and Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Revelation 12. Verse 11. And they overcame him by the what?
Blood
of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives until death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a what? A short time. Listen, you and I must always be in a repentant state. It's a humble state. You cannot be in a repentant state without being in a humble state. The Bible tells us not to make any provision for the place of the devil. Remember, unforgiveness is caused by offense. Jealousy is caused by rejection. And bitterness. I'm going to share this again. Three major things. Unforgiveness is caused by offense. Remember, I told you already that pride prevents repentance, doesn't it? People are offended. The reason for that is involved in unforgiving is caused by offense. In other words, people are not willing to forgive is because they've been offended. People will become jealous is because it was caused by rejection. Bitterness is also associated with abuse. People who have been abused usually have a tendency to become very bitter. You know, in relationships, think about old relationships and so forth. And there, I mean, when I was in the world, because of so many things that went on, I began to hate people. I didn't want anything to do with anybody. People began to use one another. You know, things that happened to us, bitterness, abuse of some way, misuse or whatever, people become bitter. And we've got to come to a place where we've got to recognize any little thing that the devil's trying to shoot a dart to you. People try to continue to fix their own stuff, and you know you can't. And then when it doesn't work out right, you get become offended or bitter or whatever. Anxiousness and anxiety, it's the same thing. People can't sit still. You know why? Because they can't wait on God. They got to move when they want to move. They're felt. well, it feels right. It looks right. People are moved by all kinds of things. Power, fame, wealth, money, prestige, lust. You know, when people move from one state to another because of a move of their job, they shouldn't buy a house where their job is. They should buy a house where their church is. It's real simple. You know? They don't need to look for a house first. They need to look for a church first. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 2. I'm sorry, it's Proverbs 3. Hallelujah. Start at verse 1. My son or children, do not forget my law, and let not your heart, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You know, acknowledging him. Sometimes when you begin to acknowledge God, you're going to, if you're one who's acknowledging God all the time, you're finding yourself in repentance. You know, Lord, I'm sorry. Or you're going to be repenting for not acknowledging him. Lord, you know, I took a step ahead of you. I'm sorry. You know, he's your buddy. He's your best pal. He's your friend. He's not only your God, but he's your dad. He's everything. And you and I must make a place that he is everything. He is our business partner. He is our accountant. He handles our money. He tells us what to do, when to do it, and where to do it, and how to do it. If we're willing to just acknowledge him. You're not going to get a mail or a letter from him all the time. It's not going to come in a blueprint. If you gave it the blueprint, you'd blow it anyways. You try to improve. You know, God, I got a good idea for this. Why don't we add a couple of rooms here? I'm trying to get rid of some of your rooms now. Hallelujah. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear or reverence the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh. Why? Because where's life of the flesh is in the what? Blood. And as long as you stay clean in the spirit, your flesh will begin to heal. Ooh. And strength to your bones. And what produces out of your bones? Red blood cells. Hallelujah. Has everybody got it? So no matter what it is, let it go. Don't get caught up in the ring. Don't get caught up with bitterness, anxiety, stress, fear, and all the other garbage. Quit trying to make it your way and let God have it his way. It's either Yahweh or their highway. Amen? And when everything, listen, when you make a mistake, repent. Especially something that's very important. When you make vows and commitments and you don't do them, you need to repent because that's an open door. Anything that you've not completed, that you made confession that you were going to do, you need to repent. Or your heart begins to harden more, more, and more, and you won't even realize it. You may be all right one way, but your heart is hard towards another way. Complete what you've made a vow to. Amen? Complete it. If it's not God's will that you were to do that vow, and repent and get out of it. Amen? Amen? Get out of it. Lord, I'm sorry. I made a vow that wasn't of you. I blew it. Lord, forgive me. Believe me, when I tell somebody I'm going to call them or I'm going to be there or whatever, when I don't do it, man, the Holy Spirit, because I'm tight with the blood. He says to me, guy, you know, you forgot to do this. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I break that curse off. It's that simple. How many of y'all want to get closer to the Lord? The only way you get closer is through the blood. You as a pure heart, clean hands, pure mind. Amen? It doesn't mean that you won't have things happen. But it means that we want to maintain. It says, if you continue. So when you blow it, you repent as quick as possible. The longer it takes you to repent, the more you reap. The more it's harder to get back. You know, when you people blow it, you know, and the devil goes, oh man, God ain't going to forgive you. He starts making God like he's some kind of some big judge sitting in the thing getting ready to beat you up. No, he's a father. He's not the judge. He's your father. Hello? He's not judging you. He's fathering you. And we must come out of the state that we need to be so afraid. It's a terrible state to be in. Those are children who are abused that walk in fear. Your father's not abused you. He's rescued you. And he's allowed the blood for you and me that we can have access not only to him, but his spirit can have access to us. Amen? So let God be God and become his children in every area. Whatever it is, listen, you didn't do your study. You didn't do something. You said you were going to do something. Those little, it says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It doesn't take much to allow the devil in. Amen? So wherever it is, whatever God is dealing with you, whatever you're willing to let him deal with you, let him deal with everything. Repent. Be honest. Remember I shared before, the most important thing right now is that we are to be honest with ourselves. Amen? If you can't be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with God. Amen? Let the blood wash you, stay clean, and stay in position. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the price you paid for us. Lord, we repent again for anything we've done that's offended you. Anything and everything. We ask that you shut every door of the power of darkness in our lives here tonight. Destroy every corruptible seed and let the Spirit have access to us that we may be filled with your joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And in your presence is fullness of joy. In Jesus' name. Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand.